Polls closed last night in India after a 39-day voting marathon in the world's largest democracy. Results will be in later this week, but exit polls over the weekend suggest Prime Minister Narendra Modi's right-wing Hindu nationalist BJP party will win. And this would give Modi another five-year term in office. For the country's more than 170 million Muslims, that may not be good news. Muslims make up 14% of the population in the majority Hindu country. They've faced discrimination ever since independence from British rule and the creation of Muslim Pakistan. But many say that under Modi, violence against Muslims has gotten much worse. Rana Ayub is an independent journalist in India who's been following this story. And Rana, with Modi's party, the BJP, likely now to stay in power, how are the country's Muslims feeling today?
Well, the Indian Muslims have been living in fear and apprehension, especially over the last 5 years, when there has been a lynching almost every second week in the country in the name of alleged beef consumption. Their religious identities have been attacked. Mosques in India have been destroyed. So there has been a culture of hostility. Muslims have been at the receiving end. And now that Narendra Modi, the exit polls suggest that he would have won another majority, this could be seen as a mandate to kind of amplify that kind of hate against Indian Muslims. So Muslims are worried because the next 5 years, because Modi has got a majority again, it could get worse for them.
Could you explain what's behind this rise in Hindu nationalism over the last couple of years that people say is to blame for a lot of the violence against Muslims?
So you have to understand that Narendra Modi comes from a province called Gujarat, where India witnessed one of the worst genocide of Muslims in 2002, where 1,000 Muslims were killed under his watch. And he has always been seen as a Hindu right-wing leader who has returned the Hindu pride to Indians. Mm-hmm. There has always been a schism between Indians and Muslims since the partition of India, wherein the Indian right-wing believes that Muslims should be treated as second-class citizens and their rightful place belongs in Pakistan. Narendra Modi's ideological backing is from the same organization, the RSS, the Rashtriya Swayam Sevak Sangh, which is the ideological fountainhead of the party. So he has been brought in, he has been made the prime minister because there's a good majority of this country which still believes that Modi brings the Hindu pride back, it's the Hindu majoritarian sentiment back. So that's one of the reasons that he enjoys that kind of popularity.
And just to add some context to those riots in 2002 in Gujarat, Modi was cleared of any complicity in that violence. The Supreme Court investigated and he was cleared. But what has his response been over the years to people who are saying that he's helped stoke these flames? Is he acknowledging this whatsoever?
To be fair, Modi was never cleared of the charges because he was never made an accused by the special investigative team. That Modi never got examined by the special investigations team is a travesty of justice. I mean, when I went undercover, and that's my book, Gujarat Files, is about going undercover for 8 months and doing a sting operation on all the top officials under Narendra Modi, they all confessed to his role in the Gujarat riots in aiding and abetting and ensuring that help did not reach innocent Muslims. And even when he was questioned by a foreign journalist as recently as 2013, he referred to his regret as the same regret, and he gave an analogy of that, you know, he felt the same regret that one would feel at the killing of a puppy. So, you know, that's the sentiment he has for Muslims.
What more can you tell us about these vigilante groups that are going around looking for Muslims and accusing them of slaughtering or eating cow, which of course is a sacred animal to Hindus? How widespread is that?
Well, it's increasingly widespread. And one of the reasons for that is that the government has emboldened these cow vigilantes. The first lynching happened in 2015 when a mob gathered and killed Muhammad Akhlaq, a Muslim man. And later, one of the members of the ruling party went and paid a visit to the accused family. And when one of the accused died later, his body was covered with the national flag. And in the lynchings that happened later, one of the union ministers in Modi government, the civil aviation minister, honored those people who were lynching Muslims in the name of consuming beef. Now, beef is banned in India. So there are rumors that spread on WhatsApp, they spread on Facebook that, you know, there's a Muslim family which is consuming beef, and then a mob gathers and they attack Muslims on the basis of this rumor. So, and there is just nothing that the government has done to stop this menace of lynching. Just about 3 weeks ago, a Muslim man was lynched in the northeastern state of Assam. And instead of arresting the accused, the police, the cops arrested the man who was lynched and took him into detention. So that's the state of law and order, which is why the lynchings continue.
Total impunity. It sounds like complete impunity.
It is complete impunity, which is why the lynchings are increasing in frequency almost every month. The hate crime data in India said that the hate crimes against Muslims have increased by 90% since Mr. Modi assumed power in 2014.
Wow. So you're a journalist and you're writing about all of this, but you are also a Muslim yourself. What's your experience been like?
Right. Well, in my country, of course, my persecution has not just been because I've been a critic of the ruling dispensation and I've been doing investigations of the government. It's also because I'm an outspoken Muslim woman. So there's misogyny, of course, and of course the fact that how dare a Muslim woman speak. So yes, each time I write something on Twitter, government officials themselves have called me Jihadi Jane. Mm. On social media. I mean, every investigation that I do is seen from the prism of my faith about being a Muslim and not just as a journalist. My work by a majority of the country ends up getting judged as a Muslim and not as a journalist. So that's the predicament, you know, you face. My recent column in Washington Post, a lot of hate was spread in India after the Washington Post piece got published, saying that I was a Muslim who was trying to defame India on international platforms. So that's what it is for privileged Muslims like me. You can understand what it is like to be a lower middle class or middle class Muslim or common Muslim in today's day and age in India.
I mentioned that Muslims make up 14% of the population in India, and yet they have just 4% representation in parliament. It's the lowest it's been in decades. Is there no opposition party that is standing up to this violence or any sort of political movement that is trying to address this?
Well, India has 190 million Muslims, and the ruling party did not have a single Muslim parliamentarian from the government or from the party who represented the Indian Muslims in the parliament. And the opposition party, the chief opposition party, the Congress itself has been accused of apathy towards Muslims. Even the tally of the Muslim candidates in the Congress is abysmally low. And there is a regional party called the AIMIM, which is a very regional party led by a Muslim leader, but it does not enjoy the kind of popularity that the Indian National Congress led by Rahul Gandhi, the Gandhi family, does. But unfortunately, the Gandhi family too has turned a blind eye to the concern of Muslims in India. And so Muslims right now crushed between a majoritarian BJP and the Liberal Congress, and both actually have no concern for the Indian Muslim, which constitute about 170 million of the population.
When India was split into two, this partition, of course, a huge monumental moment in the history of the country, created a majority Muslim Pakistan and a secular majority Hindu India. And the idea at the time was that India would be inclusive for all religions.
Right.
Is it your sense that that vision has been lost somewhere along the way?
Well, now that the exit polls are clear that Mr. Modi is all set to return as the Prime Minister of India, despite the fact that minority voices were stifled in the last 5 years, and despite the fact that the country suffered the worst unemployment, and despite all of this, the country has voted him back to power, shows that the very basis of Indian democracy and the principles, the secular principles of Indian democracy, are being demolished every day. The soul of Indian democracy is being crushed because India was never meant to be a Hindu state. India was meant to be an inclusive state where Hindus, Muslims, Christians, lower caste, they all coexist. But unfortunately, we are heading into an India wherein there is a Hindu supremacist idea which basically wants to rule the country and where it wants to treat every other minority in the country as second-class citizens. This is no longer the country envisaged by our founding fathers.
Rana Ayub, an independent journalist based in India, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Also, we've reached out to the Prime Minister's office to request a response to some of the criticisms that Rana has lobbed. We received only an automated response, but a BJP spokesperson did tell Al Jazeera that the party does not discriminate based on caste, religion, or color.